Hello, and welcome to Agents of Narrative, Episode 3. I am Damien Gibson, and what we do here is... what we do here, guys, is I talk about some art. I don't know if art's the right word. Pop culture, I don't like reducing things to pop culture either. So, music, films... books, you know, the good stuff in life. I'm going to do something a little different this week, and I am going to play some new songs for you. The first one I'm going to play is from a band called We Are Scientists. They have a new song out called Handshake Agreement. I've always liked We Are Scientists, but never jumped fully in on them as a band. I think there was a song called Stop or Everyone Gets Hurt, something along those lines, a single like 2002-2003 that I couldn't stop listening to. But then I kind of just went away from them. But I have friends who are really big fans of them and consistently sort of recommending them to me. This song, came across my desk in the last month. There were so many good songs released this month, and I have managed to reduce it down to 6, but quite a few that I've left off. So if there's a song that you thought that I should have played, you know, get in contact with me. I will put my contact details in the show notes. But the different thing I'm going to do is play Handshake Agreement by We Are Scientists, a full performance of them playing this acoustically. They have a record coming out called Huffy, which is due out on October the 8th via their 100% Records label. There's a little bit of... I think there's a little bit of talking in the beginning here. Anyway, if there is, that's why, because these guys are going to play it live. So here's a live recording of We Are Scientists, their new single, Handshake Agreement.
Hi guys, this is our song, We Are Scientists.
Song.
It's called Handshake Agreement. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. This must be nice, just what you wanted, eaten alive. We've got that in common, cognizant of unconscious threats. Saw it all off, that's what I do best. Respectful dissent, a cutting glass comment. You know what I said, but that's not what I meant. Taking what's mine, rightfully owed. Nobody minds, and nobody knows. We walked through this disaster, maybe now I'm better. Oh, I thought that we were past this, somehow I'm still catching. You can't really mean this, so let's not rely on handshake agreement. Means don't want ends, it starts to seem funny. I trust all your friends, just not with my money. Capital gains start to mean less. You lost the whole game. Who got the assist? Respectful dissent, a cutting glass comment. You know what I said, but that's not what I meant. Take as a sign what's openly shown. Nobody minds if nobody knows. We walk through this disaster, maybe now I'm better. Take exception, but you're trying to be nice. That won't get you anywhere. This latest lesson really opened up my eyes so much. bit. Yeah, I could tell you were just trying to be nice. That won't get you anywhere. This latest lesson really opened up my eyes. We walked through this disaster, maybe now I'm better. Oh, I thought that we were past this, somehow I'm still catching. Oh, well, it's best not to lie, but you can't really mean this, so let's not rely on our handshake.
I gotta go.
Your ride's here.
That's my ride. How is this?
That was a Handshake Agreement by We Are Scientists. I really like that song a lot. The recorded version is available on all the streaming platforms. I highly encourage you to go and listen to it because the recorded version is even better than that live version. But I really liked that acoustic version, and just really points out how talented the guys are as a band. Next up, I'm going to play you guys a song called Yoga Town. Now, it's by Graham Coxon, but the artist, when you look it up, it comes up as Superstate, but the album is called Superstate. So I've just got, courtesy of Far Out, I've got a little quote here from Graham saying, Superstate is a story of escape in a society where war rages between the forces of negativity and positivity, encouragement and discouragement, where only the struggle from oppression, chaos, and brutality leads to the fragile road to freedom, a road that burns its way through the far reaches of space to a planet called heaven. So, you know, not dealing with small ideas there. It's interesting, I reviewed a Damon Albarn song for his new solo album last month, which is something like The Still of the Stream, the something. I can't remember it off the top of my head. It is really good. You should go and check it out. You can check it out on episode 2 if you want. This song that Graham Coxon has written called Yoga Town is the We Are Scientists song that I just played you, and Yoga Town by Graham Coxon. And there's a Sam Fender song coming up. I cannot stop listening to them, to the point where I think I might be annoying some people around me. But yeah, let's have a listen to it. Yoga Town, Graham Coxon. I think it might be the best thing he's written maybe ever in his solo career. It's an amazing piece of music. I love it so much. Let's have a listen.
Yoga town, this is my town. Yoga Town by Graham Coxon there. I really hope you enjoyed that song as much as I've been loving listening to it in the last 3-4 weeks. It's just there's something really mesmerizing, that's the word that I'm looking for, about how driving the beat is in that song, and just the layer upon layer upon layer that just ends up in this cacophony of beautiful sort of pop wistful bliss, you know, amazing. Next up, I'm going to play a relatively new band called Wet Leg. They're from the Isle of Wight, just off the coast of Britain. That's why it's called an isle. Don't say you don't learn things on Agents of Narrative. They have a song called Chez L'Ange. It's great, man. It's punk pop. Lyrics are funny as fuck. Two ladies in this band. I really like the production. I like how loosey-goosey it is. It's kind of slacker rockish. Let's have a listen, see what you think. Wet Leg there. I really like that song a lot. It's really cool pop punk music, right? I don't really know that much about them, so can't give you much, I'm sorry. Next up though is a band that I can give you a little bit about. They won the first Paul McCartney Prize for songwriting from the Liverpool Institute of Arts. I was almost going to do like a Alan Partridge, it's the Wombats. But yeah, it is the Wombats. They have a song called If You Ever Leave, I'm Coming With You. Every single the Wombats release is of a certain level of quality. I think they're a really, really good band. And they're one of the few indie bands around at the moment that get FM radio play, or in Australia at least, and you know, obviously in the UK. I don't know how they go in the States, but Yeah, they're kind of, in a weird way, one of the few rock bands flying the flag for guitar music in a world of, you know, Harry Styles and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, I mean, Harry's fine, but yeah. Anyway, let's have a listen to their new song, If You Ever Leave, I'm Coming With You.
I'm forever locking myself in the glass of your review, trying to make friends with the friends you're close to. If you ever leave, I'm coming with you. You know I'll do whatever you want me to.
It's just quality pop rock radio song, right? From the Wombats. Yeah, so they won the inaugural Paul McCartney Songwriting Award, which means you get a whole day doing a songwriting workshop with McCartney face-to-face. I assume he still does that. He definitely did it with the Wombats, because I remember reading about him going, you fucking assholes, what an amazing opportunity. That verse sounds a bit like Darwin D's, right? Who we reviewed on the last episode, I think. Very, very Darwin D's-y. Darwin D's-y, easy. Lemon squeezy. Easy peasy. Next up is my favorite song of the month. There's been a lot of good music that came out this month. I've said that a couple of times, but there really has. This Sam Fender song, as in Yes, the Scottish Northern England I-A-Y-E. Could I be any more confused in this intro, guys? It's a lament about the world, and there's some interesting lyrics in here about political discourse, and there was a part of me that was like, Sam Fender's gone full QAnon. But I misinterpreted the lyrics. It's essentially about, it's essentially an anthem for eating the rich, right? I just love it. I'm going to play it for you guys. I think I went hard with the Sharon Van Etten and Angel Olsen song, said it was my song of the year. And then I think I've contradicted that three times already on this podcast. This, I should probably just wait until the end of the year and make a list, right? Anyway, here it is, I by Sam Fender.
You don't act up for the camera. They just sit back and command them and collect and deflect and abandon. They even wrote all the Ten Commandments. They watched Jesus get nailed to the cross and we'll
time in the dirt. They watch Buddha the fall to the Romans. They watch Lenin as they shot him dead. They watch Jackie pick up Kennedy's head. They watch kids go to Epstein's bed. They watch Hollywood whitewash remake movies of napalm falling like water or rock. They watch the atom bomb reduce new cities to dust and paint the old narrative as totally justified.
Sam Fender, there with his new single, I. There's a new album coming out in October. I remember speaking to a couple of my friends who live in the UK about Sam Fender and not getting a very positive response from them. Essentially along the lines of, he's a musician for chavs, was what was written back when I asked about him. But everything I've heard of his, I really like. I don't know. I don't know what that response was, but I really like that song. I'm just gonna not say things as Song of the Year anymore. Maybe I'll just go, fuck it. Every week, there's a new Song of the Year. This is going to be a relatively short episode because I haven't really watched a lot of stuff. I had planned to review Bo Burnham's Inside, didn't get around to watching it. I was going to review the McCartney 321 special on Disney Plus. I'm only halfway through that, and I didn't want to talk about it if I hadn't finished it. I have watched Suicide Squad, but I kind of want to give that... I only watched it yesterday. I kind of want to give it a full review, so maybe I'll do that next month. It also gives people a bit of time to watch it as well. So basically the one thing that I did complete this week is Detours, a biography /memoir by Tim Rogers, lead singer of UMI, and a whole bunch of other things. His solo album, he's done stuff with Tex Perkins, he's in the Hard-Ons, seems to be the lead singer of the Hard-Ons now. I don't know what's going on there. I have had some interactions with Tim Rogers. So growing up, I loved UMI. Were slightly obsessed with them. Ali Daly... came out when they were 16 years old. I fell in love with them, the record. I'd already liked them. I already liked Hi-Fi Way, but Ali Daly was like, holy shit, this is an amazing album. And then got into bands that played kind of similar music around 99, 2000, and had the opportunity to meet him a few times, and none of those interactions were overly positive. I don't want to say too much because, you know, it's a podcast, people hear this. And alcohol was involved on both sides. So anyway, I don't want to give Tim a bad name, you know, because, I don't know, I was probably being an annoying prick. Anyway, so I went into reading, full disclosure, I listened to it on Audible. I've had this weird thing of like not wanting to review stuff if I've listened to it as an audiobook, but I think it's an art form in all its own, you know, like the whether the reading is, like whether the performance is good, and I know a lot of people use it to read books or listen to books, whatever. Tim reads it himself and does a pretty good job of, well, does a very good job of reading it. It's, when I said memoir biography question mark, it's a, it's essentially a series of essays, which seems to be very popular. It seems to be very fashionable at the moment. Which I think when it comes to someone kind of halfway through their life writing a collection of stories is much better than the standard biography, because, I mean, let's face it, no one really wants to know about the first 20 years, right? Unless something interesting or dramatic has happened, you reeling off where you went to school and what friends you had and what you were interested in and stuff, it's not really that interesting. I feel like most biographies could wrap that. It's usually 4 or 5 chapters, and it could be half a chapter. But I always want things to be shorter. People are just way too indulgent with shit, which is what I'm trying to do with this podcast. Anyway, to give a proper review to this book, some of the essays essays, personal reflective essays, basically, in this book are beautiful, especially when he talks about his relationship with women, his girlfriend, his mum, his ex-wife, some really moving passages in there, and a good set, like, you know, really moved me. There were also like ridiculous amounts of honesty from someone who could have quite easily had not been that honest and still probably sold the same amount of books. You know, people are going to be interested in hearing what Tim Rogers has to say. But as always, he always makes relatively brave choices when he always makes brave choices when it comes to whatever it is he's doing artistically. And that's to be commended, absolutely. There is, there were moments, and this is probably more my bullshit than anything, where the sort of romanticizing of the rock and roll lifestyle for somebody in their late 40s, early 50s just made me cringe. As someone who tried to live that lifestyle for a while, I just sort of found that a bit like, yeah, okay, man, cool. I mean, that's you. That's what you want. That's you. You are more than entitled to do that. You probably have a great, enjoyable life. But for me personally, there was just a lot of moments where I was like, oh, man, yeah, okay, cool. But it is overall well worth reading. It's, he's an amazing writer. I would, if I was an editor of a newspaper, I would genuinely get him to write just exactly what he's written in this book, just sort of, you know, 15 to 2,000 word essays about his life. There's one in particular about, it's written like a script between him and his mum, of conversation with his mum. I think anyone in their 30s or 40s could identify with the conversation that's being had here between he and his mum. So overall, I just thought there were moments where I was like struggling with it, but I think that's just kind of, I forced myself to get through a lot of stuff very quickly, and so that's not necessarily the author of the book's fault. If you're looking at, the one thing I will say is, if you're looking for a whole bunch of you or my information, you're not going to get it. But if you are looking to just read some interesting reflections from an artistic dude in the middle of his life, this might be the book for you. But yeah, that's pretty much it. As far as recommendations go, again, I don't have a huge amount this month. I've been watching a lot of wrestling. That's so embarrassing to say on my non-wrestling podcast, but it's the truth. I did watch a Brian De Palma film with John Travolta from the early 80s called Blowout, about a sound engineer who works on B-grade movies, witnesses an assassination, and then basically goes into this sort of Kafkaesque cycle of trying to get the story out there and no one believing him. It's a really amazing film and kind of a lament on the loneliness of being an artist sometimes. My girlfriend Kelly has got me into watching RuPaul's Drag Race, which I did not think I would enjoy, and I really am. The production side of it is a bit cheap, and there are very much American reality TV elements to it that I don't enjoy, sort of forcing competition and forcing dynamics where people, you know, there's always got to be a villain, and there's always got, you know, like all that bullshit, rather than just allowing people to be themselves. And like the majority of the people who are on this show have had such interesting lives already. The story's already there. You don't have to force a story between all the characters in inverted commas on the show. We're still in lockdown down here in Melbourne, and I don't know if you've got someone in your life who's bugging you to watch RuPaul's Drag Race and you think, nah, man, that's not for me. It's fun. It's hard not to get sucked into it and enjoy the melodrama of the show. George Harrison, the 50th anniversary of All Things Must Pass by George Harrison, came out this week, and it's just as usual with any sort of Beatles release, it's ridiculously extensive and amazing, just so many demos, and I mean the album's so amazing anyway, but it's already a triple album, and then this essentially makes it like a fucking sextuplet, is that the right word for it, album. And I was going to leave you with George until the other day. I was listening to an artist called Match Fixer, just for full transparency, that is a friend of mine, Andrew Cowie. We used to be in a band together a long time ago in another lifetime called Vox Sound. He is also the main force behind Blessington, an amazing sort of shoegaze band that were around for a long time in Melbourne. But he's doing a lot of stuff on his own now, and one of those projects is called Match Fixer. And I'm going to play you a song called By the Hedges. It's sort of ambient, it's like an ambient bed with a whole bunch of sort of abstract avant-garde soundscapes over the top of it. I really like it. I hope you enjoy it as well. But I'm going to leave it there. I'll be back in whatever the next month is. What is it? Where are we up to? September, October. So I'll be back in October. Hopefully, at some point, these lockdowns will end and I can start doing some interviews and you guys will actually get the episodes that you want for this podcast. But I do appreciate you supporting me so far. Dedicated audience that's listening to every episode, so I really appreciate that, guys. And yeah, I'll talk to you next month. Here is Fire the Hedges by Match Fixer.
Thank you.